I plan to speak this morning about a single word. A little word, as a matter of fact. One little word, which will likely be heard again this upcoming weekend. That's because we are on the threshold, at the threshold of another observation of the Lutheran Reformation. And it's a pretty rare thing that a Reformation service is conducted without this little word. Strange thing is, the identity of this little word has been somewhat of a mystery. Do any of you feel as though you may have figured it out? Does something specific come to your mind when you sing, "This world's prince may still scowl fierce as he will"? He can harm us none. He's judged. The deed is done. One little word can fell him. When Martin Luther penned that familiar line, "Ein Wörtlein kann ihn fehlen," he no doubt knew exactly what he had in mind when he made reference to ein Wörtlein, a little word. But many of the millions who have sung this since that time have perhaps wondered, what exactly is that referring to? And there seem to be two main options. Option one, was Luther underscoring the fact that God is so powerful, it only takes one word from his mouth to send the devil reeling? Or option two, did Luther have a specific word in mind that he found particularly successful against the devil? The first option is certainly a possibility, and it's in keeping with what the Word of God says about itself, namely, that it's dynamite. It's powerful. It's invincible. One word from the mouth of the Almighty can even undo the power of the prince of this world. And the Bible gives us examples. With one word, Jesus drove out the legion of demons that were mercilessly tormenting their victim. After they confronted Jesus and begged for leniency and asked that he would send them into the swine rather than into the abyss, Jesus said, "Hypagata," in the Greek, "go," and they were gone. And with one word from the cross, Jesus smashed the vice grip of the kingdom of darkness. After completing all of the commandments and fulfilling all the prophecies, the Son of God declared, "Tetelestai," it is finished. And with that one word, our guilt was gone, our condemnation was canceled. When God is speaking, it only takes one word to do amazing things. One little word can cause the devil to back off. And it's not only when that word is coming directly out of the mouth of God. It is powerful also when God's people make use of the word that he has given to us. The Apostle Paul called it the sword of the Spirit. Pure scripture still can make the devil recoil. So, Luther may have simply been reiterating the concept that a single word from the Lord is so powerful that it can knock down the devil. But then there's the other option. Perhaps Luther had a specific term, a specific word in mind, when he spoke of the way in which one little word can fell him. And according to the findings of some scholars, that actually appears to be the case. A Lutheran pastor by the name of Jonathan Bauer submitted a brief article not long ago to a blog that's linked to a hymnal project. And he was thinking back upon his own singing of that phrase over the years, and he wrote the following. "Maybe I sort of assumed it was something like," it being that word, "something like Jesus or grace. Maybe I assume Luther didn't necessarily have one specific word in mind, but rather was making the point that the Word of God in general, even in the smallest of quantities, holds total power over Satan." But then a recent sermon on verses from Revelation led me to investigate the question further. The verses in front of me were Revelation 14, 6, and 7. They describe an angel, a messenger from God, who delivers the gospel to every nation on earth until Jesus' return. From the earliest days of the Reformation, many have identified Luther as at least part of the fulfillment of this comforting promise. These verses served as the sermon text at Luther's funeral and have been used on anniversaries of the Reformation for centuries. The beauty of the picture of that angel is highlighted by the surrounding context. John had just seen a vivid vision of the church's greatest enemies, a ferocious red dragon and his two allies, the beasts. That dragon represents Satan, whose goal it is to lead the whole world astray. As Satan carries out that work, lies flow out of his mouth like water. His liquid lies seep into every nook and cranny of our world. They seep into our homes, our churches, and our hearts. They come in many different shapes and sizes, but one common thread ties them all together. More than anything else, the devil wants us to believe one grand lie. The same lie that he used to get Adam and Eve to bite. God doesn't love you. But then amid all of those lies, this angel goes out to do his work. He implores people to worship God and give him glory rather than paying homage to the dragon by listening to his lies. Why? The angel tells us, the hour of his judgment has come. Against all of the devil's lies that God doesn't love you stands one accomplished fact. One finished event demonstrates beyond doubt that the devil's greatest lie is just that. That God most certainly loves us. Jesus' death on the cross. He's judged. The deed is done. So, when the devil tries to convince you that God doesn't love you because of the sins you've committed, when the devil tries to convince you that God doesn't love you because of the suffering you're enduring, he then continues and builds up to his conclusion, rather than listening to those lies, remember Jesus' cross as indisputable, irreversible evidence to the contrary. Then answer the devil with that one little word that, as Jesus clearly demonstrated, describes him so perfectly, liar. This author then adds this footnote. Luther himself identified this as the word he had in mind. When speaking about one of the books written against him, Luther said, "For all such books, even if there were as many as thousands of them written every day and every hour, are very easily refuted with the single word, devil, you lie." Just as, and now Luther's talking about himself, just as that haughty beggar, Dr. Luther, sings so proudly and boldly in those words of his hymn, "One little word shall fell him." So when the devil tries to tell you that God does not love you, tell him he's a liar. For even when we were his enemies, God demonstrated his love for us. When the devil tries to tell you there's no solution for that very difficult trouble and problem that you're facing, tell him he's a liar. For with God, all things are possible. When the devil tells you that that thing that you did is too horrific and horrendous for even for a holy God to forgive, tell him he's a liar. For the blood of Jesus Christ cleanses us from all sin. Yes, the demonic forces in this world are a formidable foe, but they are no match for the Word of God, which exposes their lies with the truth from above. When God is its source, what great power is found even in one little word. We conclude with the stanza that follows the one little word, in which Luther underscores the invincible nature of God's word, hymn 656, stanza 4. 656, stanza 4.